Blog Talk Radio.
Of KJMA's practice of constructive community reporting, we have invited Dr. Khalid Mohammed, Minister and Supreme Captain of Minister Louis Farrakhan and the elite fruit of Islam, to help us to put today's events into perspective. Dr. Mohammed.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. The Honorable Elijah Mohammed and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teach us that no matter how bad the condition looks that the black man and black woman is in, no matter how much self-destruction, no matter how much destructive behavior and conduct we see on the part of the black man and black woman, no matter how low the black man and black woman has fallen, the black man is the original man, God's people.
Could you help us to understand the kind of forces that create a Frank Williams?
When we look at a Roberta, a Frank Williams, and the many Frank Williams across the nation of America and the black nation in general, when we look at a Frank Williams, we see one who is other than self. And when we see him doing evil, we see him doing evil which is learned behavior, learned and picked up from the very devil himself over the past 400 years. I guess, Roberta, we could say the devil made him do it.
Oh my God. prison.
Black power, black power. Thank you so much for tuning in for tonight's Broadcast Radio Show. This is the National Minister of Information. I do want to call on to the ancestors. I want to let the ancestors know to thank you for the struggle and all the progress that they have put in. But unfortunately, brothers and sisters, this is an unfinished revolution. And what I mean by unfinished revolution, that means we have not completed it. We are not free. We are still locked in chains. Some of us are behind enemy lines. Some of us are within the cell mines of unrealistic freedoms. So some of us feel like we've acquired freedom. What exactly is freedom? With that said, is I want to call on to the ancestors and let the ancestors know that there will always be love. I want to call on to the creator, or what you might call a god, or what you might call a spiritual being, or what you might call your spiritual blessing. Whether you call on to the ancestors, whether you call God Allah, maybe you call him Judah, maybe you call him Jah, maybe you call him Jesus, whatever name that you participate with celebrating your spirituality, your African theology, your first love of self, even if your God is yourself. I want to thank you all for coming on to Black Power Radio. I want to thank everybody for tuning in on a regular basis. And I want to thank and give love to Dr. Khalid Muhammad, because if it wasn't for him, the New Black Panther Party wouldn't have extended to going to internationally and going nationally known. I want to thank after him, our attorney at law, Dr. Malik Blue Shabazz. I want to thank him. Through him, I've learned a lot of beautiful things upon activism, and he is a great teacher in that regard. Now I want to thank our national chairman, Hashim Nzinga, the new chairman that has taken on in dealing with black folks. And as you know, black folks is not the most easiest to deal with. So with that regard, I want to continue on to the radio show. And I know that everybody is celebrating Memorial Day, and they are rocking the red, white, and blue, and screaming out in that fashion of United States of America and saying, I want to thank all you veterans. That's what a lot of us are saying, but unfortunately, it's just another day for most of us. It's just another day that we're not free. It's another day that we're not able to experience the life. And for our comrades who have given their life for us to have somewhat of a world of maintaining the thought of continuing the struggle, I want to thank them. I want to thank the likes of Queen Mother Harriet Tubman. And although we have comrades who are still in the struggle that have still the transition of I believe in giving our roses now. We want to give our roses to people like Queen Asada Shakur, because she's still amongst us, and we're still learning training. We're still gathering hope. We're still able to reach out to her and feel good that our comrade is no longer locked behind bars. Also, I want to thank our brother stay cool for definitely giving up, not giving up. He is behind enemy lines right now, and he is really up for parole. So we want to be able to definitely get these petitions in. We want to be able to sign off on trying to free our comrade, because it's very important that we free our political prisoners, or POWs, prisoners of war, just in case you all did not know that. We want to be able to enlighten our comrades that are doing the work behind prisons. See, a lot of so-called revolutionists or revolutionaries and culture nationalists and activists, after they got to a certain age or they got to a certain period in lives, they felt like, okay, freedom is over with. And so we still look for them to give us and offer us some type of a hope. And that's not going to happen. So when we have comrades that are behind enemy lines that are still keeping up the hope for us to continue to struggle, we don't celebrate them. We always wait till people become martyrs. People, when they're around us and they're amongst us, we don't give a damn. We just be like, yeah, you know, keep hope alive, and we wave our fists, but we don't celebrate them the way that we should. We don't try to fight for their freedom. We don't try to get them out behind them bars. We don't try to remove the shackles up off of their necks, because it's basically the prison industrial complex is basically our people being taken amongst us. It's the same thing. It's a paid system. It's a paid state. I've said it before, and I say it again, as always, we have to get past that. We have to be able to fight for our comrades. Then we have to fight for our future comrades that are being locked up. For Mr. Field Marshal George Jackson said, any life, any black life that's behind jail is considered a political prisoner. So without going on a tangent, in which I just did, I just want to thank our comrades. I want to definitely keep them at heart's bay, and I definitely want to continue to learn from them. I definitely want to highlight them, and I definitely want us to offer freedom to them. So tonight we definitely have to discuss different concepts. Number one, we want to discuss the life of a warrior. What kind of life should a Panther life be like outside of the day-to-day program of the New Black Panther Party? That's deep, because a lot of us, we get the 10-point program, we come in, we be like, Black Power, you know, and a lot of us think it's just a slogan. Black Power is not just a name. And going to the non-local objectives, the non-local objectives break down the 3 Ds, meaning defend, define, and develop what's in the best interest of the black community. So, meaning when Comrade Stokely Carmichael came up, well, he was Stokely Carmichael at one point, and now he, before his transition, he became Kwame Ture. And upon that, with him and likes of Mukasa Ricks, Baba Mukasa Ricks, when they came up with the slogan of Black Power, they didn't just mean Black Power like I just think of Black Power. We're talking about controlling the destiny of our own future. We're talking about grabbing, not necessarily, it's not always the gun, but yes, but it's a, it could be a spiritual thing where we basically take a hold of our future. When we grab our children, we grab our elders, we grab ourselves, we grab the system, and we shake the system up. And we make the system for ourselves to create a new movement, because that's what we have to do. So, and going on from that, for the parents, what it's like to have sons and daughters within the movement. What kind of advice would a mother or a father have for a coming soldier? That's deep, because sometimes with children within a revolution, sometimes we start talking to our children, we start educating them upon the powers that be. And what I mean by the powers that be, I mean state, and how state is corrupted, and how we shouldn't trust the police. At one point during time, we should tell when their child is taken or something happens, we would tell our children, if you see a man in blue or you see a man in black or a uniform, you go to him. It's no longer like that. It's not like that for us. It's a scary thing now we have to tell our children the ills of these folks, the pigs, because of them police brutality, brutalizing our children, because they're killing us on a daily basis. Because of not just that, because there are crooked cops out there, because our children are no longer trusting it, and we no longer trust it. And then when we look into a point of teaching our children right from wrong, we have to understand that what the law, some of the laws, and I'm not advocating people to break laws, but some of the laws are unreasonable. For example, if you have more than three people on a corner, or maybe they're waiting for a bus, who knows, but they can be arrested. And these laws are unjust. So we have to teach our children, it's getting to the point where we're telling our children, don't wear a hood. These are things that are unreasonable. These things are anti-African. So everything that they tell us to do is against, everything that they say to us is against the law, but it's anti-African to us for them to talk to us like that. So we have to realistically reevaluate our situation and where we at and what type of mind state that we have to prepare our children for. We have to educate them. We have to do a political education within our households. We have to educate our children about the state. We have to educate our children about the school system. We have to let them know that everything that they see on TV is not really reality. Reality TV is really not reality TV. It's really acting. And we have to educate them upon that, how much of a farce it is. We have to educate our children about political content, about everything is political. Everything is political, from how they dress, from how they talk, from what type of education they want to receive. We have to begin to start educating our children to the point where we start removing them out of their schools, because what are they actually learning? So with all that said, our children within the so-called movement have a harder life than the average child. And the average child, don't get me wrong, has a hard life because they have different ills that they have to face, more so, because racism is inverted right now at this point. People don't actually know that they being racist. Before, they used to be like, okay, when they see you, they'd be like, nigga, don't come in our store. See it, whites only, right? So it's not that way no more. Instead, what they do is people watch you around the store. And if you pick up something, they say, you buy. Or in some cases, you might get shot or you might get killed with going into a store to purchase something. So that's just an example. So how hard is it for a parent in this life? It's very hard for a parent within this life. It makes us just almost to the point where, dang, should we still continue to appropriate? Should we still continue to have children? We want to bring these children into this lifestyle. And I'm not advocating for that, but I'm just looking at it because of the fact that we have a different struggle with our children today than we did in the 60s. Because it's against our eyes, because of everything that they're injecting our children with, the TV, the idiot box is what I call it, because of what's going on, the reality TV, the type of music that they're pumping our children with, the inactivity within our school system, how a lot of our children are still reading books from the 60s. They're not getting new and up-to-date books. They're not learning our history. We're not a her story. We're not learning anything about that. We're learning continual lies. And every year, it's a new lie. They're not educating our system. They don't have realistic programs for our system, for our children to go to schools. They have things. They don't even have a type of, saving music kind of campaign. Our children not even learning music anymore. They're cutting a lot of these programs out. All the money goes to the sports program. They're not giving our children to learn ballet. You have to go to a special performing arts school to get all that, but it's your regular, average, everyday public school system. They're not learning any of that. They're not learning how to pay bills. They don't teach them real life accounting about debits and credits. They don't educate them about, you know, how to keep an accurate bank account. They're not educating our children how to survive in the world or really on a realistic level. So what do? We have to educate our own children, right? So what is education about? Education is not about anything that's going to extend our children to a higher level plane. Our children aren't learning what they need to learn in the schools. So there's really no education within our schools unless you go to a private school or, you know, you go to maybe a performing arts school, but even then you're still taking chances. So at the end of the day, we have to start doing African education, our children, within the home. So it would be a great idea if you as a person get your child out of the school system. Then you go to your next door neighbor. Then they go somewhere. Then everybody gets to the point where we all remove our children out of these schools and homeschool them, and we save our money. We save gas. We save our children from miseducation. We save our children from being shot and murdered on their way to school because of the crime violence in different things. We saving our children from being shot and harassed by the security guards because a lot of them are out of control. We're saving the teachers because a lot of the teachers are starting to be strapped because of a lot of these school shootings. So we have to be realistic, and we have to make it work within our households. We do. So economics, when we discuss economics, we don't really have it because let's talk about that. That is something that we really have to touch on. Let's be real. Let's be real with ourselves. Upon economics, we bullshit with economics because instead of us taking the money that we get and investing it into a realistic business, we take the money and we buy sneakers. We buy tennis shoes, sneakers. We buy stuff that we only going to wear for 1 or 2 days, get 2 or 3 wearings out of it, and we're throwing it away. Or we're giving it away to someone else. We're not doing investments. We're not trying to, invest in you can invest in anybody. You can invest in a business. You can invest in somebody's education. You can invest in anything other than something just not right. People always have money, but when you start asking people to do some investments, when you start asking people to buy property, when you start asking people to buy cars, when you start asking people to buy things that are realistic, that we can actually bring down, you know, monies within our households, because it takes money to make money. Let me say it again. It takes money to make money. A lot of us aren't realistic about that. We're not being honest within ourselves. We're not touching on the fiber of our being, even if it's just you buying and investing in some artwork. Maybe you're an artist yourself. Maybe you buy a canvas. You take $20. You go to a craft store and you take you buy a canvas. You buy some art paint. You buy some brushes or whatever. You buy some cover to put around it, an old cover. Boom, you make your artwork, you start making canvases. And then if you're buying it wholesale and then you start selling it, so you just spend $20, but you're selling the artwork for how much they're selling for in the store. So, for example, they more than likely are selling things from $10 to $20 or maybe even $40, $50, depends on what type of artwork you're doing or who you're selling it to as well. So you got a product, boom, you're selling it, boom, people are buying it, and guess what? You got money. There's no reason for us to be broke in today's society. I know a lot of us are struggling. I know it's hard out there, but at the same time, there's no reason because we spend money on what we want to spend money on. And what we spend money on is unrealistic things. It's not going to be of any value. It's not an investment. And we have to do things as an investment. So if you're a clothing designer, or you're an image consultant. What I mean by image consultant, I mean a stylist. So you're taking that money, and you might buy your outfit, and you're showing people, here, this is how I dress. This is how you can finesse. You're taking pictures. You put it on Facebook. Nowadays, the websites are free. Websites are free. And if they're not free, you're not paying no more than $10 for a website. You can even advertise with one of these social media principles. And people are actually buying things. And it's just a way, it's a matter of how we market things. And what I mean by that, because I'm a business major slash healthcare, and that's very important that we begin to start marketing ourselves. And we market others. Maybe we can get paid for marketing others. But at the end of the day, it's realistic for us to push our program. And our program talks about economics and how economics is very important. Because I've had many conversations with comrades, and they've always tried to give me advice, like I haven't been there done that. But, you know, I welcome advice because I don't know everything. But the point is when you're trying to build within the movement, the first thing out of people's mouths is, we don't have no money. How can you be a revolutionary, or how can you extend to get freedom through economics? It's not, you're just not going to get freedom through economics. It's many ways. It's not just that principle, but that is definitely a strong principle. That is definitely something that we need. We do have to have economics because you're traveling all over the world. And anyway, in order for you to be the revolutionary that you say that you are, the first key thing is you have to be able to travel internationally, because you're not going to experience true revolution until you go outside this country. You're not going to really understand the concept of what a revolutionary is if you just stuck in the United States. Not only if you just stuck in the United States, but you're on the same block as you was when you were 16 and you're 52 now. You're not going to understand things. You're just going to be taking it from a block perspective. And how good is a block perspective? You have to go outside of that. In order for you to go outside of that, you do have to have some of the fundamentals of revolution. And some of the fundamentals actually is economics. So we talk about culture. How important is culture to us? Well, first of all, culture was stolen away from us. And because it was stolen, the mere fact that we have to grab it back. Everybody has stolen our culture. Everybody know our culture but us. Why is that? We already know through the whole fact of slavery and what they did to us, and the fact that what we're doing now, we're not grabbing it back. Or we're not being realistic. And not only we're not grabbing the slavery back, but we're not teaching our children. We have to teach our children's children, their children, or how long we're going to be alive. We got to keep on empowering them so they can educate our children. You know how important it is for us to understand the political value in different things? We have to teach our children about, you know, for example, tattoos. Why do we wear certain tattoos? We have to create a culture to get our children to understand why saggy pants is not us, and how it's perpetuated on us, and what it is saying. It's an opening value. So we have to teach our children that. We have to teach our children the importance of health in going back to holistic healing. And how important that is. That's all a part of our culture. That's all a part of our freedom, culture, economics, healing, health. That's all a part of our culture. That's all a part of becoming free. We can't just go with one thing. We have to get out of the mindset of being dead and come into life. You know, we have to stop saying, I love that person to death, and we need to love that person to life. And we have to start taking better care of our youth. We have to start taking better care of our elders, because we need our elders. We actually learn from our elders. And I know a lot within our culture now, back in the days of slavery and beforehand, when we were kings and queens in Nubia and ancient Egypt, we actually took care of our elders. We uplifted them and ascended them to a higher level, and nowadays we don't care. And we have to stop that. Our elders, some of our elders are afraid of us, And we have to stop our elders from being afraid of us. In order for us to do that, we have to teach our youth to love their grandparents, to show our grandparents the utmost respect, and not just our personal grandparents, but the grandparents of somebody else that's on the streets, that's walking, that's going to the bus stop, that may need heating and cooling. That's why it's very important. And going back to when I talked about realistic things, investing into our communities. Right now it's getting hot outside, and some of our elders don't even have air conditioning. They don't have anything within their home. So we have to not only do, I know a lot of us are doing food and clothing programs, but we have to get into maybe buying little air conditioners, little wall units. They don't cost that much, and you can buy them used and start installing them, going into the elder's home and installing the heating units, air conditioning units, without charging them and just letting them know that we love them and we respect them and we want to learn from them. You know how important that is for us. We have to be realistic and honest and continue to fight. And that is part of freedom and helping our people and through survival programs. That's definitely a sense of freedom. And then we have to, with our children within the movement, we have to be patient with them. We can't be so hard on them that the movement becomes unattractive to them, because they will rebel against it. And we don't want our children to rebel against it. We want our children to understand why we are fighting for freedom. First, plain is to get them to know and show them we are not free. Expose the contradictions to them about how, on the pros and the cons, and how it's this way for this group, that way for our group, and how much it is important for our children to be the ones that, whether or not, if they say that, hey, mom or dad, I want to be a freedom fighter, and if they say, no, ma'am, I don't want to be a freedom fighter, mom, you doing your thing and I'm doing my thing, but I understand what social justice is. I understand what communalism is. I understand how important it is for me to invest in my future. I understand how important it is that I get and understand survival programs, so I still get survival techniques, so I'm buying and eating correctly, and I'm doing the things that I'm supposed to do, but I might not be a freedom fighter like you, mom or dad, and you have to respect that. We can't be so hard on our children, because we will push our children away, and they will go into the streets. And they might, you know, do something a lot worse. And we don't want that for our families. We want our families to understand, to be patient with us. And we want to show them love. And we have to be realistic. All of our children are not going to be revolutionaries. And that's just the bottom doggone line. You have to understand that. We have to be realistic with ourselves. But hopefully, at the end of the day, they will pick up on the message and they will understand and go where you're coming from and teach their children. That's the whole point. You want to at least do that. If you can't make them revolutionary activists, you want to at least get them to the point where they understand what our situation is. And you want to at least get them to move and gather more troops. You want to at least drop bugs in their ear, or drop seeds in their ear. And we want them to teach their seeds. Okay, and also, how do you put forth a guided warrior spirit back into the day's generation to be? How do you make them see the struggle? How do we gather our people to again find out and see that we are not free? How do we educate them? How do we teach them to love themselves when they don't love themselves like we hope? How do we get them to pull up their pants? How do we get them? Well, that's not really the issue. I'm going to be honest with you. But how do we get them to see that reality TV, everything they see on TV is not what's happening, it's a farce? How do we get our children to get out of the negative? How do we teach them? They already rebellious. They already warriors within their own right. And it's a difference between a warrior and it's a than a soldier. Those are two different concepts. A warrior is within the blood, is born. A soldier is taught. So how do we teach our warriors how to become soldiers for our people? That's a good question. Number one, we just have to be honest with them. We have to let them know what exactly what's going on with them and what's going on with the world and why the world is the way it is. And we have to show them the positives within our nation because we have a lot of good. Just like they try to desensitize us on news programs, on reality TV, on the internet, on blogs. And you hear all this negative stuff. So we have to be able to teach our children and to have that warrior spirit. Because the warrior spirit is already there, but we have to teach them how to be soldiers. So we have to discuss it. And then also we will have, guess what? Our national chairman, Hashim Mzinga, will have his mom on today for the second hour. So that's very important. And we're definitely going to ask her some of these questions like, how was our national chairman growing up? Was he always an activist? Was he always the kind of person, did she know he would ascend to be the national chairman of a revolutionary organization? That's a good question. These are things that we have to begin to ask our children. Like, what is their beef? What is their struggle? What is their day-to-day struggle? We have to begin to talk to our children more. We can't just tell them what it is all the time. We can tell them about the world. We can tell you about the situations. We can politically educate them. But at the same time, we have to listen to them. That's one of the things that we have to go back to. We have to definitely listen to them and get them to understand, because if you don't listen to them and a child, you always telling a child what it is and what to do, that child, of course, is going to turn on you. And that's not something that you want in his life. You want somebody that's going to be able to look forward to. You want your child to be educated about the system and the state and what's going on and how important it is for our youth to be able to stand up. Because a lot of times it gets to the point where we're having a march around the house and we're making them drill so much, but we're not educating them and telling them why they're drilling. We're not educating them and telling them why everything is political. We have to explain all those things. I know after a while, you know, it gets repetitive, but if they ask mommy or daddy why this is, then you should just tell them. You don't have to tell them always in the tone of voice that some of us use. But we have to tell them the truth, but we just have to tell them the truth in a way that they can understand. And then we have to figure out, and we have to start going up to their school. If your child is in school, we have to keep a constant watch on what they're learning in school. We have to begin to sit down with our children to find out what they're watching, what they're listening to, because nowadays children are not only watching the Idiot Box, but they're always there online now. So we want to have control over what they're watching online, because a lot of these cartoons that they're making are sexually driven for our children. Our children are seeing sex before they're even ready to see it. So that's something that we don't necessarily want our children to get into, and how important it is for us to start educating our children about the news and watching news programs and explaining to them what's going on in the world today on a local level and on a national level, and then, of course, later, international level. And that's very important that we point all that out to them. We definitely need to teach them about their power, how powerful they are, because a lot of times we're not teaching our children that they're powerful. Our children hold more power than they think they do. We have to teach them that they are definitely can make some things happen. They can definitely become millionaires. It's not just about the money, but I'm just saying they can definitely have a business at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. We don't have to teach them all the time to work. That's one of the things within our culture, not our original culture, no, I don't mean our original culture, but I mean our culture now. We're teaching our children to work for someone else. We need to be teaching our children how to work for self and how to be independent. and how we don't necessarily need the state. Now, if our children are going to school, if our children become lawyers and doctors, then we have to teach our children to come back into the community. We let our child know, hey, I'm sending you to school, sending you to a medical to learn how to be a doctor, but you need to come back into the community and help our children, maybe develop a free clinic. Or, you know, if you're teaching your child holistic healing right now, because I know a lot of us, what I do appreciate about our culture now is that we're actually learning how to heal ourselves because of the fact that healthcare is so expensive that we're actually healing ourselves, and we're taking crystals, we're taking stones, and we're taking herbs to heal ourselves. So we have to teach our children that, because after we're gone, who are they going to learn that from? So we have to get our children to start learning how to heal ourselves. So starting off with a common cold, getting certain kinds of teas that would help us to, you know, heal ourselves, taking certain types of vitamins. We have to teach our children how to make vitamins. They can buy the veggie capsules. And then you're teaching your children how to put, even at 7, you can teach them how to do these things. And I guarantee they are going to want to be empowered and may want to be a pharmacist on a holistic level. So if we're teaching this at a young age, that certainly is a way for them to be able to survive, not only survive, but to earn money that they can invest in, that they can start their own business. So how about we start businesses with our children? How important is that? Don't you think that's really important, that we start getting our children involved in businesses? That our children, by the time they're 12, they might be millionaires. And then they can fund the movement. Because, again, trying to fund the movement is, man, you know how powerful that is? Because everybody, keep in mind, brothers and sisters, everybody is not going to be on the front lines. And some people, everybody's going to play a part. So it may be some people that's going to be on the front line. We might need that holistic healer. We might have a doctor. We might have that lawyer. You know what I mean? And all these different entities or functions will be able to help save us within the movement. And we need more people to start taking these things realistically. We have to be realistic. We have to start encouraging now. We can't wait till a child turns 18 and say, what you going to do? We should be trying to ask them up front what they want to do and give them realistic goals. That's not saying that if they tell you something that isn't realistic that you feel. And stop lying to our children. So if they tell you something that may not be realistic, you know, always give them a backup plan. I always tell a child, so for what I mean by it, everybody's a rapper. So brothers and sisters, we got to be honest. Rapping is cool, but we have to teach our children, suppose we got to show them the fundamental ways. Well, baby, suppose rapping don't work out. What is something else you like to do? And whatever it is they like to do, you encourage them and you push them forward in trying to do that and build, because it's nothing like a parent to slam down what a child wants to do with their life, with his or her life, because it may haunt you later on. And you don't want nothing, you know, to happen to them. You don't want to crush their dreams before their dreams are even, you know, made. So we do have to start encouraging our babies and stop lying to them and making them feel less than what they are, because our children are very important to us, and we have to show them that. It's more than just you hugging your child and you telling them that you love them. You have to prepare your children for this world on a realistic level. That means in teaching them the ways of the world and how it actually works. Even at the age of 5, you have to tell them that, for example, you know, I know a lot of us, I'm going to be honest, let's be honest here. I know a lot of us are telling them about nursery rhymes. We are teaching them about Disney. They're watching the Disney Juniors and all these doggone channels. But you know how important it is for us to tell them, hey, baby, you cannot fly. Not physically. You cannot fly. And it's not realistic because now it's multicultural. So every doggone thing is multicultural. So now they have, on these Disney channels, they have the white children kissing the black children. We have to explain to them to stay with our own. That is very important that we educate our children about black men and black women. Our black man is the greatest thing since chocolate ice cream. If you like, hopefully you like chocolate ice cream. But the black man is very beautiful, and he represents God. And we have to tell the young boys that this black woman represents a goddess. She is a god within her own right. And we have to teach them that. And we have to say they're emperors and how beautiful it is to have a black woman. It is how beautiful it is to have a black man. We have to teach our children this and not teach them the whole multiculture thing, because that is ruining us. That is making our children not really empowered, because you're not showing themselves. And then even on the terms of politically educating your child about buying certain types of dolls, stop buying your children white dolls. That, you know, you are not white. That child is, that doll does not represent them. You want to get them a doll that represents them. You want to get them a, you know, a house, you know, for that doll that represents them. You don't want to buy them a white Ken. You know, I'm not with all that anyway, but if you want to do something, then you want to at least keep it black. You want to teach that child how beautiful that black dark skin is. But keep in mind, brothers and sisters, we come in all different types of shades, light brown, whatever. Black is beautiful no matter what complexion it is, and we have to teach our children that too, because a lot of children nowadays, they are complexion struck. That's still an issue. And so we have to get our children off that mind frame of how beautiful all our shades are. Then buying them toys that can educate them, or buying them programs for a computer that educate them about how to do math. Instead of the next hottest video, you know, because now their children nowadays at 4 and 5, they know what the hottest video is. And that's not something we really want to do. We want to teach our children how to add, multiply, subtract, how to count their money. We want to start being realistic with our children. We want to pull out some money. We want to pull out that $5 bill and say, hey, son, this is a $5 bill. And then break down everything on that $5 bill so they see the value in it. So we want to keep the education of our children going, because if we don't, you know, they're going to not go anywhere. They're not going to aspire to be anything, because you're not showing them the way. But thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for listening to me on my rant about education of our youth, about the economics and about our culture and how important that is. I definitely want to bring on our National Chief of Staff, Black Power.
Hey. Black Power, brothers and sisters, as always, it's an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure to be able to talk to you on Black Power Radio. And I hope that you've enjoyed yourself thus far. I want you all to, you know, give it up and show your love for our National Minister of Information, wherever that you are. And, of course, give it up for yourselves. And we thank the Almighty, true and living and wise God for giving us another chance to struggle and giving us another opportunity to push this cause forward, as, of course, we know that in America, this is what they call Memorial Day. And this is the day where, you know, folks who have served in the white man's military and lost their lives are normally honored and given some kind of ceremony. I know there's many of us within the listening audience who have members of our personal family who have served in the military of the United Snakes of America. And so with no disrespect to the black GIs, the black soldiers, you know, we understand that for many of you all, you are out there on economic reasons, out there fighting a corporate war for bankers and for capitalists and for bloodsuckers for economic reasons. And we want to be able to provide you with a way to do for self and a platform and program to do for self, so that you don't have to fight Exxon's war. You don't have to fight a Halliburton war. You don't have to fight these bloodsucking capitalist corporations' wars and these oil mongers' wars, but you can fight the real fight
which is for the black man and black woman to rise up out of the grave for the liberation and salvation of our people. So on this Memorial Day, we have to give thanks to those who have, as I tell you all the time, took lives and gave lives, those who built civilization from the ground up and built it in a way to where it still stands to this day. There's many of you all out there that if you didn't see the so-called Sphinx and you didn't see the tombs and you didn't see the libraries and all of that, you wouldn't know who in the hell you are. If you didn't see the carvings, the statues, the paintings, if you did not see and if you were not able to read about the history of our people, many of you out there would really believe that you are slaves. You would really believe coons. You'd believe that you are colored people and that you are shines and niggers and ham bones and worse than dogs. You would believe in 2014 that you are less than three-fifths of a human being. And so we give thanks for all of our freedom fighters. And when I say freedom fighters, I have to always say in the masculine and the feminine, because many times there's a lot of credit, a lot of props that's given to the black man who was on the front line for the defense of our people, but there's less talked about the black woman who had to sometimes come up out them homes that she was putting together, had to sometimes stop nursing the child for a second, had to sometimes stop teaching the classes she was teaching, had to sometimes come up out of the little red schools and the little barnyard schools and the little shacks that they was in. Sometimes that black woman had to take the front line position, and oft times that black woman had to take the front line position because the men, the males, the black man, in some cases, was too sissified in some cases to take the point. And so we give salute to the warriors of yesterday. We give thanks to the warriors of yesterday. And we give thanks to the heroes and sheroes of today. I don't want you to think that all the great black heroes and sheroes was in the 1500s. Or in the 1600s. I don't want you to think that they were only in the 1700s or 1800s, but they are also in the 1900s and the 2000s, all the way up to right now, 2014. There are great men and women who are doing a mighty work amongst our people and in this country, and they cannot be overlooked, and they cannot be forgotten. And they must be remembered for the great, great men and women that they are. We will never stop talking about that great thinker and that great abolitionist, Frederick Douglass. We'll never stop talking about the Martin Luther King Jr.'s and the Minister Malcolm X. We will never stop talking about the Jackie Robinsons and the Harriet Tubmans. We can never stop talking about the Benjamin Davis Jr.'s and talking about the Marian Andersons and talking about Dr. Charles Drew. We'll never stop talking about the Honorable Marcus Garvey, talking about the greats among us like Fred Jones, and talking about W.E.B. Du Bois, and talking about the greats like Madam C.J. Walker, that first black billionaire. I know that y'all out there, y'all look at these entertainers out there and you get a little excited, but you gotta know about Madam C.J. Walker. You got to know something about Dr. Drew, and I ain't talking about that white boy. I'm talking about the black man, Dr. Charles Drew. You got to know something about a Marian Anderson, who was one of the greatest singers of our time, facing all kind of race. She was one of the greats. You got to talk about Rosa Parks, and y'all know, as we say, she sat down so that we can stand up. You got to give some talk about Elijah McCoy. Give some talk about the great, great fighting boxer, Joe Louis. You got to give some talk about the great man from my neck of the woods, Louisville, Kentucky, Muhammad Ali. You got to keep talking about this in 2014 because many of us in the black nation have fallen asleep. We've fallen asleep on who we are. We've gotten into an integrationist posture. Now the heroes of white America have become many of our heroes and sheroes. And you forget about your heroes and sheroes on this real Memorial Day, on the Memorial Day that should be a day that's 24 hours a day and 7 days a week for your people. What a disrespect it is to Nina Simone. What a disrespect it is to Percy Julian. What a disrespect it is to Adam Clayton Powell Jr. What a disrespect it is to Hank Aaron. What a disrespect it is to Sam Lacey. What a disrespect it is to Wendell Smith. What a disrespect it is to Satchel Paige and Bessie Coleman. What a disrespect it is to Bash Reeves. What a disrespect it is to Josephine Baker and Doris Miller and Joe Lewis. If we only talk about them on February or in February, on the shortest month of the year, a stankin' 28 days, which you hardly even mention these great men and women anymore. You don't talk about Larry Doobie anymore. You don't talk about Thurgood Marshall anymore. You don't talk about Langston Hughes anymore. You don't talk about William Hastie anymore. You don't talk about Lewis Latimer anymore. You don't talk about Lloyd Hall or Fred Jones. You don't talk about George Washington Carver. There are so many great men and women who have made contributions to our people, and they are thoroughly overlooked here in the hells and smells of North America. Not even mentioned at all. Not even talked about our youngsters. And so our youngsters have no idea who many of these people are who I just told you about. American idols to look up to. And so they look up to the latest American idol or the latest person on The Voice. They'll look up to a Christina Aguilera. They'll look up to a Nicki Minaj. They'll look up to a corporate CeeLo Green. But they won't look up to a Lewis Latimer because they don't see Lewis Latimer every day. Because many of the parents are not putting Lewis Latimer in their children's brains. We're talking about a revolution in the household. There can be no revolution on a social scale outside of your door if there's no revolution within the household. Why are we still eating slave food in 2014? If you got that rat, that cat, that dog called hog in your refrigerator, you may consider getting rid of that tonight because the slave master fed that to the slave to sound the brain, to slow you down, to raise your blood pressure, to keep you docile. It was the cheapest of the cheapest of the cheapest of foods, the foods that they fed you for you to continue and for our people to continue to build this country were the cheapest of foods. But you came from the best of people who at one point wore silks, who at one point had gold, who at one point had rubies. And even when you went on and passed to what the ancestors called the realm of the Egun, the realm of the egg on, and you passed your energy on to the next atmosphere and energy. When you did that, your sarcophagus or your tomb was draped in gold and draped in rubies and draped in diamonds. And here we are, the best of creation, the best that the Creator has made, and you eating that slop and eating that mess. We must have a revolution in the household. We cannot allow our babies' minds and our minds to be made captive and taken captive by the aims of white America. You got to come out that thinking today, and you got to do what's called separate, as Marcus Garvey talked about. Even if you live in America, you got to have a separate mentality. You got to be a black nationalist in America, and you got to have a black nationalist mindset. That even though I'm in America, I'm not of America. Even though I'm here, I'm not taken in the filth and the funkiness and the degeneracy that I see on a daily basis. I won't participate with that. Why? Because that is something that has been taught to us. It has been taught to us to be filthy and low down right here on this soil. If you don't like the crime in the black community, that's a learned behavior that our people learned right here on this soil. If you don't like the pedophilia that goes on, that's a learned behavior that was learned right here on this soil. If you don't like the money laundering that goes on, that's a learned behavior that was learned right here on this soil. Anything that you can run from top to bottom, up, down, right to left, that is negative. Our people learned it right here on this soil. So just like the tag says in many of our clothing, in the back of your shirts and in the back of your jeans, in some cases, it's a made in the USA. And the nigger, the colored person, the shine, the coon, the buck dancing sambo was made right here in the hills of North America. And so we got to wake up. We got to clean up. We got to stand up in North America on the square and turn ourselves around. You got to have a mental revolution, or you can have a physical revolution. You got to go all the way back to the starting point of your existence and ask yourself, what has God intended for me? What is my purpose on this planet? Why was I birthed forth into the world during this time period? How come you were not birthed in the 30s, most of you, or not birthed in the 40s, most of you? How come you were not birthed in the 20s, most of you, or the 10s? How come you were not birthed in? Why were you birthed in this time period? It is because you are built for this time period, and you are to make a serious contribution to our people in this time period. You are not in the time period of a Minister Malcolm X. You're not in the time period of a civil rights movement. You're not in the time period of a women's suffrage movement. You are in an informational highway and infrastructure, an information age, where there's no excuse to be ignorant to yourself and your people at all. There's no excuse to why we have not made complete constructive change in our lives, in our community, and in our person. There is no excuse that you can offer. The only thing that you can say is that you have not taken advantage of the information, and you have not spread the information. As the scripture says, our people have died or suffered for a lack of knowledge. They don't suffer for a lack of cash. They don't suffer for a lack of cars. They don't suffer for a lack of clothes or housing. We need those things. Those are basic necessities. But that's not what you're suffering from, black man and black woman. You are suffering from a lack of knowledge, a lack of knowledge, and not the knowledge you're getting necessarily in college, but a knowledge of yourself on who you really are. That's what you suffer from. Our children suffer from a knowledge of who they really are. That's what they suffer from. They have no role models. Most of the children are being swept up by the streets. And if they're not swept up by the streets, they're becoming bourgeois and made better for the establishment and the educational premises of America. So we got to do something for self in 2014. Time is too late. I don't care how bad it gets out there. I don't care how crazy it is out there. I don't care how messed up it is out there. The more messed up it is, the more it can be fixed. The more low down you go, the more high up you can go. If it's rough right now in your life, that's because soon you'll be up on top of the pedestal. But if you never went nowhere, and if you ain't never been through nothing, you can't never have nothing to talk about. That's why we're talking about a revolution, see? Because cats are afraid. People are afraid to talk revolution in 2014. All they can talk about is gender equality. All they can talk about is the homosexual agenda. All they can talk about is some universality that discards and this includes the black man and black woman. That's not your agenda, black man and black woman. Your agenda is not a transsexual agenda. Your agenda is not even a homosexual, gay, lesbian agenda. Your agenda is for liberation and salvation, a nation of your own. You got to have some power, brother and sister. That's what you got to have. You got to have some power. You got to have some real power through some real education, because it's clear that the education systems that were set up here on this soil have failed our people. They are failing our people. The economics and situation in society has failed our people. The only way most of you grow in economics is if you sell your soul to the Illuminati or something in rap music or in the entertainment music industry or the movie industry. You get that kind of money, or you get the kind of contracts where these so-called Jews make the interest rates so high and they pimp you to death and take damn near everything that you own, and you get the crumbs, like what happens in the NBA and what happens with Donald Sterling, and you wonder why the Donald Sterlings can just come out and say to you, I don't care nothing about you. I don't want you at my games. I don't want, he didn't even want his side piece, his alleged side piece. He didn't want his alleged side piece to even be seen with you on Instagram, seen with you on social media. And he's sitting there telling you that that's a culture of the people that he's around, the networking and the people that he's around. That's the culture that they have. They don't want anything to do with a black man and black woman. Even if it's a half black man and black woman, a mulatto black man and black woman, a swirly black man and black woman, they don't even want nothing to do with the swirly part of the black man and black woman. You are the most hated, most despised, and rejected people in the world. So teaches the Bible that was given from our people, the despised and rejected. We fulfill that prophecy, but we are the greatest people. That's why we're so despised and rejected, because if we're ever left alone in our original state, we'll take over this bad boy. And there's nobody in power that don't understand that. And if you leave black people alone to do for self and to organize for self, we take it over. Look at what Sister Venus and Serena Williams did in tennis. Look at what Arthur Ashe them did and Tiger Woods them did in golf. Look at what Dr. Drew did in the science field. Look at what so many have done just with a little bit of talent shown. They take that bad boy over. And if you are a Caucasian, a devil-minded individual, a Caucasian devil, if you're one of them, then hell, you got to look at the stats for what it is. If you're already outnumbered 11 to 1 on the planet, you don't need these smart black men and black women coming up doing something for self. And so they keep you doped up. They keep you drugged up. They keep you liquored up. They keep you distracted. Remember what J. Edgar Hoover said his aim with the program was with COINTELPRO. It was to cause a disruption. It was to disrupt the black community and disrupt the black movement. They feared a Mau Mau style rebellion that would rise up among the people and organize the people. What did the Mau Mau do in Kenya that was so tough? The Mau Mau organized on black principles, on black African principles. They didn't allow white people to come into the organization. They organized among a code, with a code amongst themselves that only they knew. They spoke in a language that only they knew amongst themselves. They organized for warfare and tactic against the criminal settler, those who would do like what's happening in Nigeria today and other areas where the white man and white woman would come in and try to snatch the land and land grab, what the Asian man and Asian woman in China is doing in Africa, where they would snatch the land. The Mau Mau organized against that. And they would fight the invaders and fight them coming in, and they would lose some, and some would get captured, and they'd take some, too. I said they'd lose some, and then they'd take some, too. That's what J. Edgar Hoover feared. And that's what J. Edgar Hoover saw in a Martin Luther King. He saw that in a Malcolm X. He saw that in an Elijah Muhammad. He sees that in a Louis Farrakhan. Saw that in a Jew Ali. Saw that in a Marcus Garvey. Saw that and seen that in a Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Seen that in the Black Panther Party. Seen that in the BLA. They fear the Mau Mau style rebellion, and they see that in the new Black Panther Party. We're the only organization out here on this kind of formation. Well, we don't have no cream in our coffee, no white sugar in our tea at all. We have none of that. We are pro-black, black nationalists, pan-Africanists, internationalists. We believe in uniting amongst ourselves and doing for self, and picking up for self, and not begging for what we can unite and do for ourselves. That's that good old teaching, as they say in the church. That's that old-time religion. And so as you talk about education in your household, and you talk about your sons and your daughters in the movement, you got to question yourself, dear parents. What kind of legacy will you leave, and what kind of example are you setting? What is the fight today? If the fight is not for the resurrection of your children first, then your community. If it's not the resurrection of your family first, and then your community. You can't talk about taking care of the community and you won't take care of your family. You can't talk about having a complete social revolution and you won't pay your damn bills. You can't talk about having an education for people and you won't educate yourself and read a book at least 1 or 2 hours a day. You can't talk to me about being a good brother or sister to someone else and not be a good parent to your kids or a good person to yourself. It's important. Some of us mistreat ourselves. We're not mistreating other people. Some of us out there, you're mistreating yourself. Some of you look in the mirror and even hate yourself. and as much pro-black talk as you talk and as much pro-black teaching as you teach it, you look in the mirror every morning and hate the fact that you are black. You hate the fact that you are original. You hate the fact that you are the first. You hate it because you've been taught to hate it. And so the new Black Panther Party will continue to make you fall in love with yourself. I don't care how much you hate yourself. That's why it's so easy for black people to shoot one another. That's why it's so easy for black people to kill one another. Because you hate yourself. You've been taught to hate yourself. You have not had the kind of guides who would guide you into self-love. You have not had the kind of examples in general who will generally guide you into struggle. Most people guide you away from struggle. When you join the new Black Panther Party, most people try to tell you to get out the party. When you started to struggle, when you started to revolutionize, when you started to read, when you started to do things in the community, when you started to organize, most people told you to get away from that. You stay away from that new Black Panther Party because the ADL said they were haters. The ADL said that they were racist. The ADL said that they were anti-Semitic. Or the Southern Poverty Law Center said that they were anti-this and anti-that. Well, we didn't say that about ourselves. Somebody else said it about us. Why? Because your detractors, your enemies, those who want to stop the rise of the black messiahs who were talked about, paid to slander the new Black Panther Party. They're paid to come on Facebook and make negative comments and suggestions against us. They are paid to try to stifle the movement, as Hoover talked about, misdirecting and disrupting and discrediting the black nationalist movement. It still happens in 2014. We ain't so stuck on Hoover that we don't talk about Robert Mueller and the FBI. We're just giving you the blueprint, but telling you that what happened yesterday has a direct effect on what's happening today. The way that our children were disconnected from the elders yesterday has a direct cause and effect on how we view ourselves and how our children view themselves today. The youth that are out there running wild in the streets, them are your babies. That's your people. That's a part of you that's out there running wild in the streets, black man and black woman. That's our people. I don't care what nobody tell you. They're dead to the knowledge of self because they never learned about self. And if all they ever hear is negative, if all the 10 o'clock news show us some criminality, if they never show the black genius, if the newspapers never talk about the young people who are graduating from colleges at the top of their class and those who have their own jobs and have started up startup kits for others and those who have done things that never make the news, if all they ever hear is something negative about themselves, and they will not reflect that which is good for themselves. All they will reflect is what the rap music talk about killing one another, about hurting one another, and about doing something against each other. Yes, I don't give them all the blame, but I give some of the blame to the rap music. And those of you who are producing degenerate rap music, I put that on you. I put that on you because you have not presented an alternative. You have not presented an alternative to what you call this rapping about the street life. Rapping about the street life ain't all about money. It ain't all about cars. It ain't all about fast women. It ain't about that, because you're not talking about the penitentiary that happens with that. You're not talking about that there's no retirement in death dealing and in dealing drugs. You're not talking about that there's no benefits. There's no Medicare. There's no health care. There's not even an Obama plan. Ain't none of that in that kind of lifestyle. You're not talking about how many of our young men are hitting the funeral homes. Men and women hitting the funeral homes at an all-time high because they're listening to the rap music and listening to you rap about what you did to your brother and how you smoked your brother and how you took your sister down, how you pimped the women and how you did this and did that. They're listening to that. And since many of them don't have father figures, and some of them don't have mother figures, that the rap music or that music becomes the only father and mother figure that they have. No, it's not. It's not totally responsible, but it is partly responsible. And I'm telling you out there, those of you who listen to Black Power Radio in the industry, those of you who make that kind of music and you're working out there in the industry, I'm telling you that we're going to challenge you at every turn that you take. everywhere that you go, I promise you, we're going to dog stalk you and make sure that there is some alternative for our people out there. Even though we understand it's a process. It's a process for many of you. We're going to put positive influence on you and positive pressure on you out there. And we want to tell you to make sure that you are prepared to hear our new Black Panther Party mixtapes that are dropping here very shortly. We got some cold, talented brothers and sisters out there that can bust some revolution lyrics that Dr. Khalid Muhammad talked about. We got some cold brothers and sisters out there that will talk about what's happening in the streets and also talk about what's happening in your mind, what's happening in your history, and what's the current situation that our people are facing. We got some cold brothers and sisters that are prepared to give you a way up out of the situation with a beat and with a drum and with a snare. And so you stay tuned to Black Power Radio and newblackpanther.org as we prepare to distribute our mixtapes out there to the world and make sure they hear every nook and cranny the same way that Chairman Mao did at one point in getting the Chinese Revolution started through the tape. He got that tape going to the prostitutes, got that tape going to what he called the lumping or the thugs. He got that tape going to certain segments of the bourgeoisie. And then by the time that him and those that were with him began to make their moves, the streets was already primed because those tapes had pumped life into the people. Those tapes had talked about the contradictions to the people. Those tapes had talked about what was really going on, and they could identify with who Chairman Mao was in China. Well, hell, we got some students of Black nationalism and Black power with the ideological bearing of Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad and the ancestors who got some tapes that our people must have, and we got to get it out there to you. I want to take time to take your calls to 646-478-4447, 646-478-4447. We got to talk about what's going on in the household, what's happening in the Black home, and why is the Black home so destroyed, and what can we do to put this thing back together. We also got to talk about what it's like to be the mother or father today, what it's like to be the son or the daughter today, what it's like if you are out there and you have sons or daughters that are in the Panther Party, in the movement. What is it like to be a son or a daughter, a parent, a mother or a father to a Panther Cub or a Panther Soldier, a Panther Warrior? What is it like to give birth to revolutionaries? We got to talk about the process of giving birth to revolutionaries, that you cannot raise a revolutionary in the same way that you would raise the average brother or sister. You can't do that. There's a process to it. We got to talk about putting the warrior spirit back in today's generation, the guided warrior spirit in today's generation. There's so much to talk about. And so I'm going to take to the phone lines. We also want to try to get our National Minister of Defense on the line, who we know and understand he has been in a severe automobile accident. And by all accounts, when you see the pictures, you know, I know many of you follow my Facebook page. And when you see the pictures, it looks like someone took a 7-Up can and literally stepped on the can. That's how this brother's automobile looked. But by the grace of the God and our ancestors who protects us on a daily and consistent basis, because of the fact that we do this work, we have divine benefits and divine blessings. I've been telling you for years on end that when you work in this movement, God sees fit to protect you in this movement and protect your lives in this movement. I wouldn't talk as strong as I talk if I was some punk scared that God didn't have my back. I wouldn't move the way that I moved in North America and throughout the world if I didn't know that the God had my back and that the energy of the ancestors permeates this country and permeates the world and protects us wherever that we go. I ain't talking about no spookiness and no Casper the Friendly Ghost. I'm talking about real life people who come to your rescue in real life circumstances, which otherwise would have took you and me up out of here, but saved us and kept us here because we continue to work for the liberation and salvation of the Black nation. You hold on to this mission, New Black Panther Party. And you work this mission double time, triple time, and overtime. Because God is blessing you all the time and opening up the doors for the blessings in your life and in your household and outside of your household because of what you do for this mission. And that's for those of you who are not in the New Black Panther Party. You get with the Panther Party and get with the program, as they say. You get with the program and open up them doors for yourself. We are living examples that the God of our forefathers and foremothers is real. You couldn't do this kind of work without that kind of divine protection. But we were told by the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad that we were the people of God's choice and the people of divine blessing. Let me go right into the phone line. Your area code is 347-884. Again, that's 347-884. You're on live with Black Power Radio. I'm your host, Sean Saddam Kweli. We're talking about a revolution in the household and how to give birth to that revolutionary generation. Black Power, welcome.
Hey, Black Power, how you doing?
Doing fine. How you doing?
I can't complain. Everything is well. I was just listening to what you were saying. I can't say like what's not our issue. I pretty much figured that everything is our issue because we're attacked on all fronts, including the homosexual agenda, because that's just a modern-day eugenics. And in the Bible, it says, Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they get old, they won't depart from it. So it's up for the parent to teach the child. Like, you can't make anyone do anything, but we definitely have to teach them, and they will absorb what you teach them and train them, you know, walk with them along the way. Like, I homeschool my daughters, and my oldest daughter, I can't say that she's going to do exactly the same thing that I would do, but I see her in her law program and going that route. So, you know, it's very important that we train up our children, and it's very important that we understand, like, in order to be a revolutionary, I mean, it has to be a spiritual revolution first, because all these things is how they keep us bound. Like, if you have sexual immorality, which is homosexuality, that would keep you bound. If you on drugs or whatever you do, or irresponsibility, meaning that you're not taking care of your household, you're not taking care of your children. That's the main thing. I mean, even in the Bible, also say, person that don't take care of their child is worse than an infidel. So it's like that. That's what we have to look at, and and struggle on all fronts, police brutality, homosexuality, the homosexual agenda, because if we're homosexual, then where's the next generation coming in at? So,
Exactly right. I totally agree with what you're saying. But the proof is in the pudding, though. You know what I'm saying? I want to be clear that whatever's going on with the next generation or with this present generation, it is due to the fact that they are not being raised in general by parents and people who are concerned. The old African adage tells us that it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to raise a child. And so, we understand that the destruction of our community was systematic, starting first with the father. The father was removed. Then you had the mother who was taken out of the home and forced to go into the industrial working field. And you had the children who, in a lot of cases, were left alone and raised, in some cases, by themselves or raised by a grandmother or what have you. So those who are blessed, those children who are blessed and those families who are blessed are to be able to at least have a strong mother there, or that they're blessed to have a father and a mother there, or at least blessed to have somebody there that's got some sense. I'm telling you, that's a real blessing, my sister.
That's what contaminated our children, especially like after the crack era, and then the latchkey kids, as they were called. Like, that's like really started like the downfall of our community. But if everyone come out, like, who's ever on the line and they're hearing it for any surrounding area of New York City, Brother Seville and myself will be speaking on this very same topic June 11th. At 1061 Atlantic Avenue at 7 p.m. And I'm also looking for those that are just willing to locally work and build our community up. So you could contact me online also at See the Preacher. And that's it. But I really hope that people will come out, you know, because that's exactly what we'll be talking about. We'll be talking about the destruction of the Black family, as well as the maturation of the Black woman. What should we do as Black women and Black, especially Black mothers, to help our communities, and directly speaking to the youth as well, like letting our youth know, you know, who we are and why it's detrimental that we keep killing each other, and that it's pivotal that we start to love ourselves. I hope to see everyone come out June 11th, 7 o'clock at 1061 Atlantic Avenue. That's the Brooklyn Christian Cultural Center.
Yeah, 51 Atlantic Avenue right there in Brooklyn.
Yes.
Sure, we appreciate that. Keep pushing, keep pumping that, and stay on the battlefield. This is most important. There's no other fight that we can have that's more important than saving our babies. This fight
that's
that we're fighting is about saving our babies and saving our youth.
That's right. Okay, Black Power.
And so, all right, Black Power, and that's real. That's from the Deputy National Minister of Youth, Sister Chrissy Payne, who is Sister Icy, who is on the point. And on that spiritual point, I mean that spiritual and that physical, or that spiritual and that material go hand in hand. You don't have one without the other. When you have a manifestation of as they say, a defect or something that's wrong, that automatically come from a manifested spiritual defect or imperfection. And that's why we're saying America is morally bankrupt. The moral bankruptcy of America ill affects the righteous people, Black men and Black women. It's all connected. That's why we're saying separation. And so that's why we're talking about rebuilding ourselves, our homes, and our babies. It's all connected, fam. Let me go to the next call here. Your area code is 504-432. You're on live with Black Power Radio, talking about having a revolution in our homes and then a revolution in our community. Come on in with your thoughts, your comment, please. Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Sean. This is our Brother Harold from New Orleans, Louisiana. Yes. Now, this is what I want to say. I'm doing all right, brother. Everything all right. But this is what I want to say. Us as Black men, we need to stand up, you know, stand up. And this is all. I think the Black women and stuff, they have a better respect for us if we stand up. First of all, we need to cut this stuff off on this television, all this love, hip-hop, and all of that. We need to get rid of that. We need to do some more reading, where we can educate the youth and everything. Because all this stuff on television, this has got the youth minds is messed up, you know. We need to go out in the communities and educate our people. You know, because all this foolishness, all this stuff,
that's right.
What got our minds messed up.
It was systematically, Brother Harold. Keep going.
Yeah, brother. Well, I ain't going to hold you up because I know they got other callers on the line,
you
but we got to stand up as Black men. Yes, sir, I can hear you.
His line might have dropped, but what I'm telling you all is that it's systematic. What happened with that television, it's no accident that the TV changed from not being able to show certain things at one point from the waist up to just showing you everything. I mean, now you can just go to TV and just see somebody butt naked on TV. I mean, I'm talking, rest in power, Bernie Mac say bucket naked. You can go and see somebody bucket naked on TV right now when, a couple of years back, 40-something-plus years back, you know, during you know, Malcolm's in their time, you didn't have all that. You didn't have this 24-hour foolishness that was on TV. You didn't have these quote-unquote reality shows that don't talk about reality. I mean, I've never seen a quote-unquote reality show that don't talk about what's really going on. That lets you know it's not a reality show. It is a staged drama. It's what it is. They have departments for them. We'll talk about that in another show, but it's I think it's called a scripted department. That's what it's called. I'll get you the exact name, but it's got to do with scripts. All of them shows, Real Housewives of Atlanta and all of that, hip-hop and love and hip-hop and, you know, whatever it is that you're watching out there, it's a scripted show. It's the situational dramas, and they put them in certain predicaments and make them act a certain way. Stuff is broadcast all over the world. Some of these people have never met you in real life, and so they believe that you need any leaks. They believe that you fake. They believe that you know what I mean? These people are on the reality show. They believe that all black people act like that. You see what I'm saying? And so these are the kind of images that are going to have to be balanced and fought against, because at least if there was a positive image out there, I'm not saying Sister Nene don't have no positivity, and I ain't saying Sister Phaedra don't have no positivity. But what I'm saying is, as a show in general, if there was more positive resources or shows out there that talk about the black genius and don't show us in the light of coons and fools and dancing a jig, as they used to call it, then there'd be some balance. But for the most part, there's no balance on television. And that is systematic, Brother Harold, if you can hear me. I know your phone was messing up, but it's systematic. It's 24 hours a day to show our people in a coon-like behavior. You know, there's a movement that says stop cooning, but hell, the TV in your own house is showing our people like a coon 24 hours a day. So the stop cooning movement got to start right there with the executives of Fox. It got to start with the executives of NBC. It's got to start with the executives of Viacom. It's got to start with the executives of Universal. It's got to start with the executives of Time Warner. It got to start with them. Don't get so mad at our people, and you ain't mad at the executives who sat there in that boardroom and discussed how they was going to make your people look like toms and like some fools. That's crazy as hell. So the fight is on, black man and black woman, and the struggle continues on all levels. I just want to be clear. That struggle continues on all levels. But Brother Harold, you are absolutely correct. We must stand up. We must be men. But I will say that there are men that are standing up in America today. I don't even want nobody to think most of the men ain't standing up. You got men who done lived hella rough lives, but they taking care of their babies. I seen some today. Black man out there just in what they call the wife beater. They had the wife beater on and the shorts and the flip-flop. Look like he just came home, but he had his baby, and he was there pushing his stroller, doing what he had to do. See what I'm saying? But that type of stuff don't make the news. I hope this is National Minister of Defense. I told you all, the black man had went into a severe situation in his automobile, and we are happy by the grace of the God that he's with us. And, of course, we always celebrate, you know, but we know he has a recovery that he's going through. He's going through recovery, and we're not going to say that it'll be instant, but it is a recovery, and he's making steady progress. And we want you all to listen to him for a minute here, because we're going to tell you straight up that he's going to need some help over the next few weeks or next few months. He's going to need some straight-up help dealing with some straight-up medical situations and dealing with some morale and some spirit and all of that. I'm telling you, when you get your hip knocked out of place and bones broken and all that, man, it does something to you. Any of you who've been in a hospital for any length of time, you know them hospitals can drain your spirit. All right? So we want to lift our brother's spirit up. But first and foremost, we want to thank him and thank the God, I'm saying, thank the God for his life. We want to go ahead and welcome him to Black Power Radio, our National Minister of Defense, Brother D.K. Brown. Black Power, you with me?
Black Power family, yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Comrade D.K., can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, sir. Can you hear me?
All right. We'll try to get him right back on.
Can you hear me, sir?
Area code 214-254. 214-254. You're on live Black Power Radio. Can you hear me?
Okay. Can you hear me, sir? Hello?
Okay. We'll try to get him black with us. We'll have the Ministry of Information give him a quick call and see what's happening, see what's going on. But we still on live But that's some serious stuff when your automobile, I got to talk about this just for a second, when your automobile is crushed up like a can and the paramedics have to cut you out. You can't get out on your own physical power. But that, you know, you got to be cut out. You got to be cut out of the car. That's some serious stuff. That's some serious stuff. And what I'm saying, black man and black woman, is, like I said, we are blessed. If you have ever had that kind of situation happen to you ever in your life, it's a life-changing experience. And our National Minister of Defense has had his life changed. Had his life changed over the past couple of days. Couple of weeks. Yeah, his life has been changed over the past couple of weeks. Well, what I want to tell you is that he's still a soldier. And he's still soldiering. This black man is still in his heart. He still wants a soldier. He still wants to kick up dust for the people. But sometimes, you know, when we live in this high speed, we live in life at this high rate of speed, I'm going to tell you straight, sometimes the God got a way of slowing you down. Sometimes, you know, you get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life. And we forget to take time just to, as they say, smell the roses. You sometimes forget, just being honest as a soldier, sometimes you forget just to stop and say, man, the damn tree looked pretty good. You know, it's a beautiful day out. The grass is freshly cut. Sometimes we stop talking about the small things and we get caught up on the big things in life. And sometimes the God got a way of slowing our behinds down. It happened to me. It happened to our national chairman. It's happened to others. Probably happened right now to our Minister of Defense. But he will bounce back. I think he's black with us. He going to bounce black. He going to bounce back. And I'm telling you, it'll never be the same. He'll end up soldiering in a way that only a man in his capacity could do, because it'll be balanced. Let's help to welcome to Black Power Radio once again our National Minister of Defense, Brother D.K. Brown. Black Power.
Black Power, you with me, family? Hey, Brother, hey,
brother,
can you hear
me?
Black Power. Yes, sir, I can hear you live and direct. I don't know if you guys can hear me. Can you hear me?
D.K., can you hear me? Can you hear me? Holler.
Yes, sir. I can hear you. I can hear you live. I hear you good.
They said he can hear me.
Hello, can you hear me?
He can hear me, but I can't hear him. Well, that's a problem. We need to...
Black Power, can you hear me? I'm calling from another phone.
Hear this black man. Captain DK, we need you to get somewhere where you can be heard, sir. Let me see where I can... See if we can get him in here. Y'all out there in the listening audience, y'all just bear with us for one moment here as we try to work this thing out. You know, these phone situations are funny. Some funny phone situations sometimes. And sometimes when you in certain areas, it takes away your ability to be heard. But we got Captain D.K. Brown on with us. Now, yeah, his call drops. We got to get him to call back in. And I want to just make sure that y'all can hear me. Y'all, somebody out there, send me a thumbs up. Let me know I can be heard. I ain't schizophrenic. I ain't talking to myself. I want to know that I can be heard. But let me see if this is my brother here, Brother Cabin. Is this you, sir?
Black Power, can you hear me, family?
Cabin DK 214-900. Is that you?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me? Yes, sir.
I hope it is him. I wonder if he's online. Somebody, let me know. Let me know if I can be heard.
Hello.
Let me make sure I can be heard. This is live Black Power Radio, like I told y'all. And y'all just gotta hang tight with us. If y'all was at the club, you'd be hanging tight, waiting for
Hello?
The last call for alcohol. Well, this is one of them last calls for liberation.
Say, give me your phone. Black Power, can you hear me, brother?
Because I got my brother on right now. He's on
Black
right
Power,
now with
me,
but I can't hear him, and I want to hear him. And we want to hear him. Man, it's been through a serious situation. he got something to say, and we got something to say to him. Let's make sure we're coming through live. Okay, I got the word. We're coming through. I'm coming through. Y'all can hear me, so that's Black Power. But we got to get our brother to come on through. All right, Captain, we might have to call him on three-way or something. We might have to do it like that. We got a moment to do that. So let's get that together. We're going to have to call our brother on three-way or something. I think he's having some situation. Okay. Well, it said that he can hear, if they can hear both of us, well, I can't hear him. So let me see what's going on here. Sometimes I'm telling you, these lines get real tricky when that truth come out. Let me do it like this. I'm gonna have to get him heard. You just hang right on in there, Captain DK. And then we're gonna get you on. Tell him to call right black. Tell him to call right black. All right. And so we'll take this first little call here and then we'll get Captain DK. It might be him. Eric code 918-409. 918-409, you're on live. Black Power Radio. We're talking about the Black Revolution in the household and raising these revolutionary seeds. Come on in with your question and comment, please. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power family, can you hear me? This is Brother DK.
Okay, yes, sir, brother.
All right,
I
man.
Can hear you.
I had you on both lines, man. I was able to hear you, but you wasn't able to hear me, man. Let me just say to the Black Nation right now, man, it feels good to be out that hospital, man, at home and feeling strong. I have to say that, you know, throughout all this whole, since the 15th, man, I went down on the 15th and kind of been in and out since then, but since the day of the 15th, man, when that car flipped, when that car ran through the median and flipped, man, it's been hell. When I say hell, I mean my life is in the hand of doctors who I don't know if they have my better interests. I've been on medications that I know have unhealthy side effects but are necessary to treat.
I can hear him on the phone, but I can't hear him. I'm sorry. Keep talking, but I'm working through a technical situation.
I know that these medications were great for me in the healing process, but not knowing if they're good for, you know, in the long-term effects, you know, just not knowing what my day-to-day living is going to be like. It's been a struggle, man. But I'm just happy to say that, you know, I managed to pull through, man. God and my ancestors, you know, helped me through this thing. And I have a promise to the Black Nation, and that's freedom of death, you know. And my people still ain't free. And we still haven't reached the moments and points of freedom that we're trying to hit to. So my commitment is still to the Black Nation, so I'm still here with my Black family. You know, it feels good to be, I'm not as heavily medicated as I was, but to look at my body and to say, man, yesterday I was just, a couple of days ago, I was just, a couple of weeks ago, I was healthy, strong, you know, still strong. I'm going to generate myself back healthy, but see myself all broken up the way I am, you know, and, you know, my lungs are a major thing that I'm worried about right now going back to the hospital to get somebody to take a look at my lungs because my lungs collapsed. And during the car wreck, my lungs collapsed. I have fractured ribs, bruised lungs. My body bruised up. I have over 40 stitches everywhere. My right femur fractured my leg. I mean, they had to put my ankle back together. So, I mean, it's just some crazy stuff that's going on right now, but I'm going to have to learn the condition and relive with this and live through this, man. You know, I heard the brother say something about God has a way of slowing you down, you know, and getting you on the path or getting your attention. I believe this was one of those cases where God was telling me I'm moving too fast, doing too much, and it's time to slow down. Can you hear me, family? Power, hello?
Yes, sir, bro. We can hear you.
Okay. You know, this is just one of those times, man, where I have been up, you know, a couple of days. I've been sleeping, but getting 1 or 2 hours sleep, you know, no more than 4 hours sleep. My body really shut down. When I was behind the wheel, I fell asleep behind the wheel. And I mean, I was my exit was only two exits away. I remember putting my car on cruise control, and that was it. I woke up, somebody was cutting me out the car, and I fainted again and fell out. You know, my lungs collapsed. Woke up again, I was coming out of surgery. I went clean across the highway, through the brick wall, out into the brick median. And, man, my car looks like, it looked like a car, man, like a balled up piece of can, you know. So, I mean, the ancestors and God definitely were with me on getting me out of that vehicle, man, because
that's right.
Keeping me sustained while I was in it. And then to be able to get me out, for me to even be able to live and talk to you, man. But the whole time I'm in this hospital, all I'm thinking about is, you know, what is it going to be like tomorrow? You know, what is it going to be like, period? And I remember just, you know, two times telling death, no, not yet. You know what I mean? Seriously, I mean, really, literally, telling death, not yet. I'm not dying like this, you know. I'm not going. It's not the manner in which I'm going. And it's just, you know, I'm here. You know what I mean? I'm here. And when I say I'm here, I'm not just here laying down, giving up. I'm confined to my bed. For a moment, I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow. We're going to check out some of the, I'm not sure if they're going to take a look at the head injury I had or go into my lung area and take a look at some things. But in 2 weeks, I go back for these bones. But, man, I'm good, family. When I say I'm good, I mean I'm good as long as I know that the people who are out there, you know, that you continue to commit to doing the work for the Black Nation, man, and we continue to lean on each other and help each other, man. I mean, I went from having my own business to being able to know that at least every week I was going to be able to pay some bills and how things were going to happen. To, man, right now, man, not really knowing how nothing is going to happen. You know what I mean? And I had a little bit tucked away for a rainy day, but I think that just sustained us enough to get me through the hospital. Medication is extremely high. Doctors, right now I'm in search of a doctor, a Black physician in my area that I can trust, that's not going to use me as an experiment. Somebody that's just, you know, a lab rat. I'm not trying to be nobody's lab rat, but I have some medical issues that need medical attention, but I'm looking for a physician that I can trust, you know what I mean? And that's going to be hard right now because I have never been in a situation like this. So, I do know that there are a couple of people here in the city that I can deal with. So I'm going to be trying to reach out to some of them, but this stuff ain't free, you know. So I'm not looking for nobody to do nothing pro bono for me, but I want to be able to take care of the person who's taking care of me, man. And it's like after so long of dealing with people in this city of Dallas, Texas, and a lot of the surrounding cities, I had a lot of people reach out to me over this last week. I just want to thank all y'all, you know what I mean, for your concern. Thank all y'all for y'all love, support, and prayers, man, because it is what it is, man. It could be any of us. And I just want to say, you know, you just can't take life for granted. The brother was saying sometimes you don't stop and just say, hey, man, that tree is beautiful. I think that's where I was at. My focus was on the everyday, working hard, trying to build things up, and I was forgetting about the small things in life, you know what I mean? Like, shit, I'm still breathing today. You know, nobody could have told me 2 months ago that this was going to happen and I was going to be sitting right here. But we prepared for everything else except for the unexpected things like this. So, you know, it is what it is, man. You know, and I'm just taking everything right now, you know, one, not even a day at a time. I'm taking a minutes at a time because things are changing and evolving around me by the minutes, 30 minutes.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? Life for me is different every 4 hours, you know what I mean? It's something different. I have my chest area. If I take a deep breath, you know what I mean? Right now I'm talking to you, so I can feel it. But if I just burp or hiccup, oh, man, it feel like somebody kicked me in the chest, you know? So it's crazy, you know what I mean? And then I don't want to take these pain medicine they gave me. I'm fighting just sitting up here taking these pills every 2 or 3 hours and every 4 hours because I don't want to be addicted to these pills. I don't want the side effects to come with taking this medication, but I have to do something. So I'm kind of, you know, sometimes when you're conscious of what could happen to you and you don't want to hurt yourself, it affects you a little bit more too, you know what I mean? So it's like I really need this. You know, the more I talk to my brothers and sisters, man, it's like it's therapeutic, man. You know what I mean? The more I talk to people and I've been having conversations with people, it's been therapeutic because it's letting me know that things are going to be all right. You know, and I've even had some enemies.
Yes, sir.
When I say some enemies, I mean I've had some people that I've been at odds with in the last couple of years who, man, have came to my side and since this accident and have been like, you know, hey, man, you know, what's you're going to be all right, whatever it is, but it's kind of it's different. But I need to know that my family is there. You know what I mean? When I say my family, I'm talking about y'all. I want to make sure my family is there. When I say there, I ain't just talking about Facebook blogging, man. I really want y'all to get it right with each other, man, because we all we got. You know what I mean? And when I say I put my life on the line for black people, you know, I put my life on the line for us. And that's crazy, but I want to know that we got each other's back 110% because that's what means the most to the growing masses, and that's what means the most to you know, to people, period, who see us, man. I want them to know that, you know, when you're dealing with this Panther Party, you're dealing with a particular group of brothers and sisters who are a family and not just an organization and a body base. You know, we're a family. I want to thank, you know, my national chairman because, I mean, this man came through. He'll tell you, he's seen me firsthand, man. He came through to the house, and I thought he was just, you know, in another city. He was in my city. Came to the house, man, and sat on the bed. We chopped it up. I put my clothes on. You know, he didn't want everybody to see me looking the way I was looking, man. I put some comfortable clothes on, and we sat here, me, the national chairman, the supreme captain, his son. We chopped it up, man. You know, that was the first point of upliftment for me. You know what I mean? To feel a whole lot better, man. You know, to hear, sit down with my brothers, man, and, you know, let them know, man, this is what I feel like. Y'all see what I look like, but I'm going to be all right. But when I seen my brothers, man, and they didn't just come to talk. I mean, my brothers came and they supported me financially, and it was at a time when it was necessary. You know what I mean? They came and supported me with them words, opened the doors for some more things. You know what I mean? They just came through and just to hold my brother's hand and hug my brother and let them know, man, look, take a little bit more than a car accident to kill your brother. I'm here. Was a beautiful thing. You know what I mean? So we have to continue to build and grow as brothers and sisters in this organization because I've also had other people in my city to come through, man. And I don't think all of it was good, but I think because I've had so many people around me right now at this time, that a person will have to think twice about, you know, being silly and saying anything silly at this moment, you know. And I know a lot of people probably thought it was going to be some negative side effects to this car accident, some drugs or some alcohol. Hell no, it wasn't none of that involved. You know what I mean? And that's the good thing is the police, I know that that's what they used to seeing. They couldn't put that in that report that day. His brother was high. His brother was drunk. This brother damn near worked himself to death. You know what I mean? And to the point to where he just body shut down. And I'm not proud of that, but, man, I'm glad to know that, man, it wasn't drugs and alcohol involved, and I'm still able to stand up and be able to fight for my people, you know what I mean, a whole different battleground.
That's right.
But we got some work to do. I got some work to do by getting better. But I'm not going to sit down and just wait. I mean, I'm working on some things right now. My family telling me I need to slow down and sit down and chill, but I'm about to get me another laptop sent to me or a little tablet, and I'm about to put some work down, some plans that brothers and sisters can carry out because this gives me time to sit down and put things on paper and focus. As to where first I wasn't able to do as much of that because I was moving around so much, so I'm going to utilize my time wisely. I just want y'all to know, family, that, man, I thank y'all, man. I love y'all, and I appreciate all the support. But it is real. You know what I mean? It is real. It's not no hoax. It ain't no nonsense, man. I was that car accident, man. I don't know what to say. You know what I mean? I've been shot before, brother. I've been shot before, man, and them bullets felt, you know, maybe felt better than this. I'm being real. I'll take another bullet before I take an accident like this. You know what I mean? And this is crazy because I have pain coming from all different directions. And you know what I mean? It's just real weird, man, to be in the hospital and then the brothers and sisters show up at the hospital and people know, you know what I mean? They knowing you're a Panther. and knowing you're a Panther, there's some people out there who don't have our better interest in mind. So that scares me when these are the people who are in the health and the medical department, and these are the people who I have to trust sometimes, and they're dealing with my life. So that's a scary thing when you sitting up there having to face it, but hey, it's something that we know. It's a reality that we have to deal with. So we have to put ourselves in position where we have our own medical staff in every city that we in, to where I know I could say, no, don't take me to Baylor Hospital. Or I'm in Baylor Hospital, Baylor Pittle now, but tell my family to check me out of here and get me the brother or sister so-and-so. Or they already know what to do. Get me the brother and sister so-and-so. Somebody who I know is going to be able to look out for the better half of the black nation, man, because I'm in that hospital, and I've seen on a couple of occasions some of that, those staff, man, they just there to go to work. It's a 9-to-5 there for them. You know, I hit a button and tell them I'm in pain. It takes 30, 15 minutes sometimes to get somebody down to where I'm at because they're dealing with so many people. And this is in the trauma unit. You know, that's just crazy. And it's not an exaggeration of time. That's the truth, you know. But it is what it is. I want to say to
yes, sir,
my national chief of staff, you know, brother, you are, when you put the picture out on Facebook, man, that was a great thing and a great move because I hadn't been on Facebook, really. I really wasn't going to get on there much with everything that's going on, but that's opened up the doors for me to do some other things. And I just want people to know, man, this thing is real, man. I want to put pictures out there where people can see the condition I was in, but I don't even want to expose that to the masses. Bro, my face was all swollen up. My eyes swollen up, damn near closed. Lips busted. I mean, it was just real crazy, man. I got stitches all over my body. I mean, I had flying glass and pieces. I got burns on my arm from where they was cutting, the car apart to get me out the car. And it was metal pieces that cut me. It was crazy. A lot of craziness, man. I don't think they thought they was going to pull somebody out of that car and they'd be alive. Because, man, the way I was, man, my motor was sitting in my lap. That's how my right leg ended up being all broken up the way it was. The motor of that car was sitting in my lap. You know what I mean? It was real weird, man. It was a tough thing to go through, but I'm here, man. You know, it was real crazy, but it's going to take a whole lot more than that. Take your brother away from this earth because I ain't through doing the work. You know, and that's my commitment to the people is to do the work, man, and I'm not through doing the work. I have a lot more work to be done on myself and work to be done for the people. My hands and my heart are attached to it, so I ain't leaving till the work done or until I put somebody in place that can do the work. So that's my commitment to the people. It's going to take a whole lot more than a car wreck to kill me. I damn sure ain't trying to kill myself no time soon. I'm going to get some sleep. I'm going to get some rest. Yeah. I won't be that mistake no more. You know what I mean? I won't be making that mistake no more. Sometimes we push it to the limit, and we push it too far. So I'm telling all my brothers who are out here doing the work, I'm telling all y'all, if you're out here doing the work, you're chilling to live your daily life, working for your family, working for the people, you brothers and sisters have to travel from city to city and state to state because you're doing the work. Take some time to get some rest. I fill myself up with, you know, a cup of coffee here. You know, I go give me some bitter cola or some cola nuts, and that's straight caffeine and be up and just running. You know, natural stuff. But, man, that shit catches up with you, man. Get you some rest. Brothers and sisters, you got to have to get you some rest and charge your body up. You know what I mean? Because when your body shut down, it shut down. It can shut down at any time, you know. And we can't do ourselves out like that. We got to go out the right way, and not, you know, just the crazy way. But it felt good to see my children. You know what I mean? I think that was one of the hardest parts of being in that hospital, was to see my children at my bedside, and my girls, my daughters, man, they were scared to hug me because I looked so unrealistic to them. You know what I mean? I wasn't that God figure, that super daddy they used to send. My babies were scared to hug me, man. They thought they was going to touch me, it was going to hurt me. But it was a beautiful thing, man, to see them. My sister would tell me the next day, and my daughter was in school, you know, pushing them for this test. She got to make some good grades so she can make her daddy happy. that's the kind of shit that makes me feel good. You know what I mean? And it's a beautiful thing that, you know, my queen and my ex-wife, everybody just kind of came together all at the same time. My family, they just came together at the same time. They've been making the necessary moves to keep this household together. So it is what it is, man. I'm very thankful. My father's been here every day. You know what I mean? My father's been here every day. It's been a lot of good things. My mom, you know what I mean, has been right there, man. And to see my mother, who hasn't left my side yet, you know, it's a good thing. But I want people to know, man, you can't take family for granted. And we can't put ourselves in a position where we leave our family behind because we're not just, you know, doing the small stuff like, you know, giving thanks what things do, man, and just respecting our body and, you know, recharging. You know, you got to stop doing everything that you're doing, and sometimes you got to recharge. And I'm going to be honest with you, everything that I've been doing has not just been Panther work. It's been just work in general, trying to make it day to day. You know what I'm saying? And trying to make it day to day, a lot of times it's still a part of your Panther lifestyle because you're doing the right thing and you're doing the necessary thing to survive. And it's you know, it catches up with you, bro. It catches up with you, man. But once again, I want to thank my family. That's all of you, man. And I want to thank everybody out there, man. There's some brothers and sisters who inboxed me some messages on Facebook. I'll be getting back with you. I got a couple of emails. I'll be getting back with you, man. But I really need the family, you know, financially, man, if you guys can support in any way. When I say any way, I mean any way. You know what I mean? Anything helps. It's possible. It's thankful. It's helpful. I can't be a beggar or a choicy beggar when I'm sitting on my ends, man. Right now, I have paid my household rent for the month, for last month, and for this month. It's like a good thing, and I'm working on the month that we're about to approach and the bills to come with it. And I'm not asking for people to just sit back and be a handout, and this is what it is, but I can get my household bills and everything paid, but I need some help with this medical. You know what I mean? This medical thing is going to be very costly. If I signed up for some insurance, like a 241 premium, and I know that these people are finna really rack me up when I go in here about this lung and this bone issue, man. But I'm finna, you know, continue to research, man. I just won't take the first thing come to me. I've been looking and really just looking, man. But I want to make sure that medically I'm going to be all right. You know what I mean? When it comes down to the medical, I'm going to be okay. You know what I mean? I hate to get to the end and my body start healing up and healing up good, and I let some of the weakest finances stop me from getting everything I need. You know what I mean? To continue the mission 100%. But that's where my help is going to be. That's where the help is going to be needed. You know what I mean? Financial help on that medical. And brothers and sisters, my number is open, man. You guys just holler at me. Give me a call. You know what I mean? I'm very open and honest about what's going on with me. You know what I mean? My line's open, man. Some nights I ain't been able to sleep, so I be up all night. You know, but just give me a call. Holler at me. It is what it is, man, and I promise you, I ain't finna give up, and I ain't finna give in, bro. I'm finna push. When I say push, I mean I'm finna push. I'm finna do everything that's necessary to get black on my feet. When I say black on my feet, I want to be standing on both feet, stronger than I was, more effective to the black community, and I want to be more alert myself, my health, and everything that affects me so that I can be a better father, better man, a better Black Panther for the people, and a better black hero for this black nation. When I say a black hero, I mean, I ain't talking about people looking up to these rappers as their future. I mean, I want people to know that what we do is real, and this is what people start basing their graces on, what they want to do with their self and their future, you know. So it is what it is, man. It's only put me in a position to better myself. I ain't feeling bad or looking bad about nothing. I ain't depressed at all. You know what I mean? I feel great. You know what I mean? I'm hurting, but I feel great, man, because I could be dead. It could have been a whole lot worse than what it is right now, man. To be able to talk on Blog Talk Radio a week or so after this accident lets me know that it is real. It is what it is. We have to face it and keep rolling. Black power.
That's right. That's a great testimony, black man, and that's a great truth. And that's what we're going to work on. Y'all make sure that y'all inbox them if you're on Facebook. Brother Calvin, I want you to, if y'all have it, if you give us some information on where we can send some funds, we're going to raise some straight warm cash.
Bro, we did like a little video footage the other day with Nat and the chairman, and I believe he said something about the website. But I'm going to tell you this, man. You can send anything to Dallas, Texas, man. You can go Western Union or anything, man. My name, you can send it directly to me, you know, Derek Brown. Or, you know, you can go to Wells Fargo and make a deposit straight to my bank. You know what I mean? At Wells Fargo, just by giving them my name and the city that I'm in, Dallas, Texas. And you just give them Derek Brown, and you just tell them the account ending in 7315. And I have people deposit money into my account out of town before like that. But I want us to come up with a more secure solution within the next 24 to 48 hours that we can work out. I want to get with you on that, brother, because I've never been in this situation before. You know what I mean? But I want to get with you on that, and we can work something out. But, you know, and my phone number is 214-254-7870. Give me a call. If you have something, give me a call, and I'll give you my account information and the route number, whatever, and you can just go from there. You know, I do Wells Fargo and I do Chase Bank. however you guys feel safe sending it, I just want to let you know that when you send it, I got it. And when I got it, I want to let you guys know how it's being used as well. You know what I mean? I want to show you guys the deals when they come and how things are happening. I want you guys to know, man, that a lot of the things that are going to happen within the next 2 months with me, it's not just going to be about me doing it. You know, the people are going to be, I saw it yesterday that the people that love the Black Nation and people that love not just me, but people who just love to see somebody in the Black Nation doing the right and righteous thing are going to be the ones who help with this whole rehabilitation factor when dealing with me. I laid up, and I've been having dreams that have been so realistic, man. It's crazy. Little visions that have been so realistic. It's crazy. But I'm going to tell y'all this. When they was cutting me out that car, I had two energies that were surrounding me at the time. I had a dark energy, and I had a white energy, a light energy. And I told both of them no. I remember saying no to both of them. No, I'm not going. And these energies was pulling me in their direction. You know, and I was being pulled in this direction, and I'm like, no, I'm not going. And this is what I'm facing. I remember saying no, screaming no, and falling back out. And that was the one time I remember being conscious during this whole incident. And that was when they was cutting me out of that car, and my lungs collapsed. I woke back up. I was in surgery. And if I can look at death and say, no, I'm not yet, and I ain't ready to go, and I can stick by that and mean that, and death had to give me that pass and leave me alone. If I can command death to leave my side, I can command health to heal me 110%. I can command finances to come from me anywhere.
That's right.
Make sure I get the medical attention that I need. And I can command myself to do the right thing for the people. Once all this is done and continue to do the work, I'm going to leave Dallas, Texas. I'm going to get into every city and every state that I can, and we're going to build. I'm not even going to worry about home base. My home is going to be on the road, moving and mobile, man. This is what I want. I want to be moving and mobile, city to city. And I know that the finances to do it ain't going to be a problem. Once I heal up, it's just going to be a matter of making my mind up to say that that's what I want to do and not let nothing get in the way from doing it and just doing it. Seriously, that's where I'm at, bro. And, I mean, it's just about being real right now with everything we say and everything we mean. Because, man, if I can live through this, I got work to do, man. And nobody kept me here on this earth just to sit on my hands and on my ass. You know what I mean? So I got work.
That's right.
It's for real, man. I got work to do. And I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to need you guys to help in the process of doing it by just let's hold each other to our words. And we got to stop doing so much, putting these unrealistic challenges on each other. When I say that, I mean the unrealistic challenges that lead to conflict. You know, let's put real challenges in each other's life and uphold each other in our righteous works, man. Let's get it done. I want to thank the sisters on the East Coast I heard on the phone earlier. You know, I heard you sisters on the phone earlier, man. You guys have been doing some good work. Last couple, you know, checking out Blog Talk Radio. I need to get with y'all on some things. I'm going to call you direct. I have some numbers and some emails. I'm going to give them, hit you guys up direct. You'll hear from me this week. Because, man, I just know that life didn't stop after that summit. It kept going. And life don't stop after the day, man. It got to keep going. So we just got to keep going strong. Keep having our business. Black power, black family, black nation. I love you, one. I'm out. I'm about to take some medicine right quick. Give me 5 minutes, bro. 5 minutes. I'm about to take some medicine. And then I'm going to jump right back on the line. But give me about 3 to 5 minutes.
We got to wrap it up, Cap, because we're really off of the air.
Okay.
I want to let you roll to get that information out and hear that voice. Yeah.
So that's it, man. I just make sure you get at me, man. Get at me, man. I want to get with you, bro, so I can set up a secure way for people to send funds. Because I mean, I don't know if the best way would just be to come directly to my bank account, or would it be, you know, Western Union cost people to send, versus they can just go directly to the bank account. You know what I mean? But it's not a Wells Fargo everywhere. I know Chase to hit. You know what I mean? So however we can do, get it done, let's get it done. We gotta set up PayPal or something. I want you to get with me, help
about
set it up. And let's talk about getting it set up.
Yes, sir. We're going to talk about it. Black Power, Brother Cam, that's going to be the objective. The Black Nation is going to help you, and you got to help yourself to recover.
Right on.
All right, Black Power. Take your medicine, Black man. Get you some rest.
All right, Black Power.
All right, Black Power.
Black Power.
Brothers and sisters, that has been our National Minister of Defense, who is calling you live, Dallas, Texas, and we're so glad to hear his voice and glad to hear that he's doing better, making a recovery. And I meant what I said, and we're going to help him. We know that some of you all out there can donate all kind of funds, and we need your help because he needs your help. You know how it is with the medical bills. You know how the American Medical Association is. They want that money. But most importantly, we want to show that we support him, and we want him to have the confidence and the security to heal. So I'll be reaching out to you all out there in the radio listening audience, reaching out to the new Black Panther Party, and putting our heads together on how to keep our brother secure, and also going into the bigger lesson, which what he said tonight, which is having that rest and having that balance, doing this work. Don't try to get no rest if you ain't work. He said get some rest after he was working, but doing this work and having some balance. And so we'll be giving you information on how to help him and help his family and help this mission and help the mission of the family. We're going to talk about that more and more. You all need to join the new Black Panther Party tonight and unite with us and register with us. We got a phone number to call, which is 347-903-0886. That's 347-903-0886. That's our direct line to headquarters. Drop us a couple of lines in our email at newblackpantherheadquarters@gmail.com or nvpphq@yahoo.com. Stay tuned to newblackpanther.org, which is going up even stronger. I tell you all the time, plans is already in. And then stay tuned to newblackpanther.com, which is about to broadcast our national newspaper, online version of our newspaper. Big plans coming up. I want to thank everybody who came on, all the callers, all you who listen to us faithfully every week. Now, those of you who stick by us, I want to thank our National Minister of Information for holding it down. I want to thank our National Minister of Defense for calling in and letting us know there are divine purposes for all of us. And if we do this work, we'll survive and thrive. He's going to be all right. He's going to make a full recovery. We done already put it out there in the universe. Just got to give him time to heal. This is Black Power Radio. Happy Memorial Day to the Black Nation. I ain't worried about no white folks in their memorial or their armies. Happy Black Memorial Day, Black Power.
Yeah, gotta rock. found the truth to this one, man.
Black and brown parade.
So all my concrete gorillas.
Black and brown parade, America, let's rumble. PQ, we got no time for staying humble. Street to